Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. Both Limud New York and Limud UK will be featuring Pardes faculty members this coming season. At Limud New York, Leah Rosenthal and Yaffa Epstein. And at Limud UK, faculty members Aviva Zornberg and Alicia Anschulwitz. I urge you to consider going to any or both of those Limud conferences, and you don't have to live in New York to attend Limud New York, nor do you have to be British to attend Limud UK. They're both great conferences. Check them out on the web. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landis, the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of Pardes, discusses Parsha Vayeshev. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landis.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha Vayeshev, which has a terrifically interesting narrative, centers around Joseph and his brothers, is best understood with a close reading of several key verses. The general arc we have a younger, almost youngest son, second to last, but ultimate son, Joseph, who could have been the oldest son if Jacob was allowed to marry Rachel. Joseph would have been the oldest son. We have this younger son who is treated especially well. Doesn't seem such a sympathetic character, who has these dreams that really upsets his brothers, and they put him away. Looking at the text allows us to see, first of all, how out of control Joseph himself was. Kind of an outsized character bursting through his breeches as a young man. And then we see, however, more importantly, what was it about the dreams that led his brothers to be so upset with him? So let's take a look at the beginning of the parasha. Parsha talks about Vayeshev, that Yaakov is dwelling in the land which his own father had sojourned in, the land of Canaan. The next verse says, Ela Todot Yaakov. These are the generations, the story, the generations, the descendants of Yaakov. And then it says, Yosef ben Sheva Esrei Shana. Joseph was 17 years old. When you read the verse, Ela Todot Yaakov, Yosef ben Sheva Esrei Shana, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, 17 years old. The names Yaakov and Yosef are next to each other and closely intertwined. Of course, by the way, the name Yaakov Yosef, which became a famous naming opportunity for children in Eastern Europe, because of how it appears in the verse. Especially if someone was born in this parasha, they were often named Yaakov Yosef. A male boy was born, he's often named Yaakov Yosef. So what does it describe? First of all, we see that Yosef is very close to his father. Secondly, in the same verse, Yosef ben Sheva Esrei Shana, I'm repeating, Joseph is 17 years old, young man. Hoya ro'eh et achav batzon. He shepherd et achav batzon. He shepherd, normally translated, he shepherd with his brothers the flock. But a very literal translation will give us, and here this is a translation that is favored by some, that Joseph shepherded his brothers while they were with the flock. In other words, Joseph assumed a managerial role, or even perhaps even a leadership role, a takeover role. He's 17 years old, and he's already shepherding his brothers. The verse continues, V'hu na'ar et b'nei vilha, v'et b'nei zilpa n'shei aviv. This also is hard to translate. Translation I have in front of me says, the lad was with the sons of Bilha, but the na'ar there is not a noun, saying it's the lad, but na'ar really there is a verb. So he was a na'ar with the children of Bilhah and the children of Zilpah, the wives of his father. He was a nar, he was a young lad with them. It's like he young-manned them, meaning he was a young man with them. So on one hand, he was a 17-year-old who was shepherding his brothers. At the same time, in a social way, with B'nai Bilhah and the B'nai Zilpah, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, he was a young man. And that's where Rashi puts in famously within his commentary, he was flirtatious. I'm saying the word flirtatious, but Rashi has fluffing his hair, fixing his eyes to look pretty. And so he's kind of this eroticized, sexual, flighty character at the same time. Thirdly, Vayaveh Yosef Adibatam Ra'ah El Avihem. And he brought Yosef at the same time that he is shepherding, at the same time that he is flirtatious, he's erratically flirtatious, he is bringing the evil report about them to the father. He's also a snitch, a moral judge of the character of his brothers, and bringing the bad news to his father. This is, I would say, a Yosef, as I said earlier, bursting out of his britches, a Yosef that is charisma on speed. Yosef is doing too much. You can imagine that what this meant. And in case this coupling of Yaakov and Yosef in terms of his destiny continues in the next verse in terms of what else we know about him. The Israel Havit Yosef called Banav, Givenzu Zukunim Hulo. Israel, the covenantal name for Jacob, loved Yosef, which shows that Yosef seemingly may take over more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age. He's the consolation for his father. V'asal lo ketonet pasim, and he made for him a coat of many colors. At the very least, and I'll avoid that full discussion, but at the very least it refers to a garb which is distinct and which is beautiful and which seems to have royalty. And so when the brothers are looking, they're looking at a Yosef who likes to be in control, who likes to be flirtatious, at the same time as a snitch. He is the picked one, he's the one who's picked out from the father out of love, but also for destiny, seemingly. The brothers can't take this. The brothers saw that he is the one that the father loves. Mikol Achav, more than all the brothers, it's repeated here. Vayisnu Oto. And they just hated him. They couldn't speak peacefully to him, or they couldn't even say hello to him. If you want to take him to those, they couldn't even say in the morning, shalom. Or in the evening, shalom. They couldn't even talk to him. So this is the case that we have about Yosef. Yosef is already primed for a disastrous, or he's already in a disastrous relationship with his brothers. It's seemingly not a disaster yet, because being the pick of his father, he is protected. And now we come to the second part of that I would like to speak to, is what is the connection about Yosef and these dreams, and why do these dreams so impact upon the brothers? So the next verse, Vayachalom Yosef chalom, v'yaged le'achav, first half of the verse. And Yosef dreamt a dream, and he told it over. Again, he told it over as a story, Haggadah. He told it over to his brothers. Vayosifu od sino oto, and they increased more to hate him. There's a couple of things in this verse which is just crucial. First of all, it's pointed out that it could very well be, according to the Shadal, the 19th century Italian biblical commentator, Shmuel David Luzzatto, it could very well be that this was the first of three dreams. In other words, later on when they recount the dreams, they're recounting a second and third dream. The first dream is really the unspecified dream. Then this is the dream about Yosef himself, Vayachalom, it says in verse Hey. Vayachalom Yosef Chalom, Vayaged Le'achav. That Yosef dreamt a dream, or dreamt Yosef a dream, and he told it to his brothers. There's no other dream which has this formulation that it's verb, subject, then the direct object of the dream itself. And there is no other place in the Bible that says this. And Yosef is smack dab in between the verb and the noun. Yosef, the subject, because he is the subject. He's the subject of the dream. He dreams about himself, and even though it's unspecified, that's where it is. And he tells it over to his brothers. It's a whole Haggadah, Vayage. Vayosifu od Sinoto, and they continue to hate him, or they further hated him. Vayosifu od is very intensive, but what's the word that we should not neglect? Vayosifu, which seems to be, and he increased. But look at the word there. Take off the conjunction vav, and you take off the last vav, which is for the verbal plural, and you have Yosef, Yud Vav Samach Fei. You have Yosef. But Yosef also, they Joseph old further in their hatred of him. Yosef is at the center of the dream, is the center of their hatred. And now he tells them, if we follow Shaddai, the second dream, and in the second dream we understand what really takes place in the source of the hatred. Listen to this dream. Shimunal, verse 6, Pasuk Vav, Shimunal. Listen now, or please listen up. Nah is an emphatic, or please listen to this dream that I dreamt. And then he says in verse 7, Pasuk Zayin, Vinei anachnu ma'almim alumim, we are sheaving sheaves, we're gathering sheaves, betoch hasadeh, within the field, all of us brothers. Vinei kama alumati v'gam nitzava, and my sheave stands up, and it stands up erect. V'hinei tusubenda alubotechem, all your sheaves surround my erect sheaf. V'atish tachavena alumati, and they bow down to my sheaf. I mean, this is a Freudian dream, showing his power and impotence of his brothers. And they respond. And here in their response, I should say, this is where we get it all. Vayomru lo achav, his brothers say to him, Hamalach timloch aleinu, shall you literally rain over us? Double verb. Translations say surely rain or indeed rain. Hamalach timloch, shall you rain over us? Imashal timshal badu, shall you have dominion over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? Vayasif al tsunotal al chabotav al devravnek. Vayasif, again the word Yosef. They continued more to hate him because of his dreams and his words. But consider the verse. The verse has two verbs. And the two verbs represent the source of the hatred. Indeed, we could ask the question, if Yosef is dreaming about himself and he's just an egocentric brat, we can understand why they're annoyed. But why the deep hatred? If Yosef is rather recounting his a prophecy that he's received, and that indeed this will become true and this dream is prophetic, then they should submit to it, because after all it's prophecy. But look what they say to him. Brothers say to him, a double verb that allows us to read the verse twice with each verb in place. Let's read it with the first verb. Vayomru lo achav habaloch aleinu imashal banu, which would translate, shall you reign over us? Shall you have dominion over us? Asking that question, and it's a question to be answered in the negative. How could you think that? And that's their rejection of the whole idea, their notion that it's just an egocentric fantasy of Yosef. Now read it with the second verb in each couplet. Vayomru lo achav, his brother said to him, Timloch aleinu, Timshal banu. Indeed, you shall reign over us. Indeed, you shall have dominion over us. And that's the affirmation. And the crazy-making scheme here, or schemata here, is that they have both within them. They don't know if it's something to reject. It's just a foolish fantasy on the part of Yosef. Or indeed, this is prophecy. And that's why they hate him so much. Because they themselves can't reconcile that. And indeed, that it may even very well be both together. In the sense that it could be his egocentric fantasy, but nonetheless, it's prophecy. Nonetheless, it's going to take place. So therefore, they simultaneously accept and reject, or I should say, reject and accept it. And this is the tension they have with themselves, the business with themselves, that drives them into murderous hatred. So he dreams another dream, he tells it to his brothers, And in this dream, verse 9, that the sun and the moon and 11 stars, remember he's part of 12 brothers, including himself, so there's 11 stars, 11 brothers, there's a father and there's a mother, bow down to me. The brothers are upset, but not only the brothers, the father, because he tells both his father and his brothers. Vayigar bo aviv, in verse 10, pasuk yud, his father lashes out at him, his father who so loves him, and says, vayomer lo, and says to him, machalom azeh asher chalamta, what is the nature of this dream that you have dreamt? The father has the same ambivalence as the brothers, doesn't know if just egocentrism is just vanity, or indeed it's prophecy, or is it both, and it's crazy-making. And look what he says, echoing his sons. Shall I come, or shall we come, myself, your mother, your brothers, to bow down to you into the land, bow down to you all the way to the ground? But again, it's two verbs, and we can read the verse twice. Havo anivim v'imcha v'achach l'ishtach v'alcha arza, shall indeed myself and your mother and your brothers bow down to you in the land? Shall we do so? Of course we won't do so. But the second way of reading it, the second verb in the couplet, Navo anivimcha v'achach l'ishtach v'alcha arza, yes indeed, I and your mother and your brothers will come to bow down to the land. And this father, who may even look at Yosef's successor, sees himself already displaced in his own lifetime. And this Yaakov can't stand. Yaakov just can't take it. And look at what verse 11 says, his brothers had jealousy for him. And his father, the father guarded this matter, seeing the jealousy of the brothers, but also seeing his own feelings. The brothers go out, so they just get out of town. They go out to pasture the flock of their father in Shechem. And then Yaakov calls for him. But look what it says here, Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, the covenantal name. Yisrael calls for Yosef. Halo achacha roim b'Shechem, your brothers, isn't it true that your brothers are pasturing in Shechem? Lecha v'ashlecha lechem, go, I will send you to them. In other words, you have to do this. I'll send you to them. The purpose is not given. But obviously there is a complete rift, and Yaakov is, the covenant of him is Yosef. He's trying to heal the rift, but I would say that there is many emotions here, because the father has already been upset with Yosef. He's healing it, but it's a clumsy healing. It's a healing which is a disastrous type of healing. And Yosef understands better. At this point, Yosef has some consciousness. Because Yosef responds to his father, Vayomer lo, Yosef responds to his father, Hineni, here I am. Hineni, that code word that we learned from Avram, which is the term for martyrdom, of obeying God's will no matter what. Hineni, here I am. And so, this is our situation. It's a tragic situation. You have a brother Yosef, the youngest, who could have been the oldest but is not, who acts in many ways like the oldest and the youngest. He shepherds all of them, and at the same time he's flirtatious. He's in command, but he brings back evil reports. He's intertwined with his father. The names come together, and his father loves him more than who else. He gives him this coat, and he's going to be the future. And Yosef sees the future. But his dreams always have himself at the center. The brothers and the father have problems with this, because they don't know if indeed this is the truth, and if this is just fantasy, or perhaps this is egocentrism and is the truth, even worse. What they don't see is the content of the dream itself. That the content of the dream of grain, the sheaves, the dream of prominence, the being at the center of the universe with the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down, the substance actually reflects what will take place in the future. That Yosef will be their salvation. He will feed them with the grain, and he will give them refuge in Egypt, where indeed everyone bows down to him. It will take a long story until this Yosef will understand that it's not only his dreams, but he needs to interpret other dreams to make manifest this dream in a salvific way, salvation direction. For the brothers to recognize what they have done in the next part of the story when they lead him to his death. For Yaakov to go through his mourning and his regret and then finally see that all the brothers deserve a blessing. This will come with a long story, but all stories begin in dreams. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landis. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send us an email at podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.